Okay. So here's the question. And it's a question that Matthew chapter 13 is meant to drive us to ask, what is the kingdom of heaven? Right? And Yeshua answers. Not in riddles, in parables. Why does Yeshua answer in parables? Because nobody's understanding parables? No. The Masorah, the oral tradition, is filled with parables. Indeed, there are entire volumes in the oral Masorah that are based on parables. Mishalim, they are called. Mishalim. The word mishle in Hebrew is proverbs. It's parables. Solomon wrote a book of proverbs, of parables. It's a huge pattern. In Midrash Rabbah, it's parables. And one sage will give a parable, and another sage will say, Davar Acher. Another opinion. And he'll give a parable, and then he'll say, Davar Acher. And another sage will give another opinion. Davar Acher. And another sage will give another opinion. Or the same sage will give a different opinion. Which one is right? Why would anybody ask that question? Okay? This is Mishalim. This is Proverbs. Okay? By vote of hands, how many people want to be in the kingdom of heaven? Okay, that's established. All right? Now, what is it? You can't answer that directly. This is a completely different type of language. This is not mathematics. This isn't poetry and song, right? This isn't written in Psalms by David. What's Yeshua doing? He's using a time-honored type of language, type of speech, in order to convey the flavor of what the kingdom of heaven really is. Is the kingdom of heaven a kingdom here on earth? Clearly not. Ooh, that's a little troubling though, isn't it? Right? Okay, because we want to think about us being part of the kingdom of God, and Yeshua is not talking about what the kingdom of God will be, right? When Yeshua returns and is king over all the earth, right? Is that the kingdom of God? Yes. Is that the kingdom of heaven? No. Something different. That's why he doesn't use language like that. This isn't an historical text. What is the kingdom of heaven? What's the first thing we know about heaven? It's outside of time and space. It's beyond time and space. So what's the kingdom of heaven? These things are given to us to learn because the concept is tough. It's difficult. The main idea that everybody knows intellectually but doesn't get in their gut is that the heavens, beyond time and space, affects us here on earth, within time and space. And things here on earth affect the heavens, which is beyond time and space. How does this work? Not certain, but I know that it does. A mathematician could explain it. Okay? We get to feel it. So the reason that we get to feel it is because the Messiah has given us methods of healing it. That's what the Mishle are about. This is what the parables are about. Does the kingdom of the heaven, kingdom of heaven grow? Yes, it does. Outside of time and space, how does something grow? right? Growth implies time, right?
And space.
And here is beyond time and space. Something grows. It's the kingdom of heaven. And it grows from something almost unseen to something that is mighty. Hence the parable of the mustard seed. Okay? Things on earth affect that which is in heaven. Okay? Some of the other parables here. Seed sown among thorns stands for someone who hears a message, choked by the worries of the world and deceitful glamour of wealth, so that it produces nothing. Okay? However, what was sown on rich soil is the one who hears a message and understands it, and such a person will surely bear fruit. 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. Okay, now, we're talking beyond time and space because that's where the kingdom of heaven is. It's in heaven. So it's called the kingdom of heaven. And we're talking about growth. Is this something that actually happens progressively? The answer is it's not possible. This is beyond time and space. So what we're talking about is something that is known. God knows this. This is not a, okay. But that the effect on the kingdom of heaven is of things on this earth. Okay, so the kingdom of heaven grows because of faith of people on earth. The kingdom of heaven grows because of faith of people on earth. This is not about being in a body of people here on earth. This is about the spiritual realm, the realm of the neshama, gaining strength because of faith of people here on earth. What's the goal? What's the goal? Well, this is actually discussed in 2 Peter chapter 3. When Peter is going over, this is not going to end well. There's going to be horrible stuff that happens. And we know it's coming. And then Peter says, okay, we know it's coming. So what do? Very simple. We lead godly and holy lives, hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. Hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. Okay? How do you lead a holy life? What is holy in Hebrew? Kadosh. What does kadosh mean? Separate. Set apart. How do you lead a separate, set apart life for God? Mitzvot. You do the God's commandments and you're leading a life separated for God. You don't think you're separated. Try going into a barbecue joint and ordering lunch. Okay? Now, we were talking earlier. Gentiles are not obligated, but they can partake. So every time you do one of the commandments of God, you strengthen the kingdom of heaven beyond time and space. Until when? Until the kingdom of heaven beyond time and space is strong enough that the day of the Lord comes. We actually, according to Peter, and I agree with him, can hasten the day of the coming of the Lord. Just by doing mitzvot. Does doing mitzvot gain you salvation? No, it doesn't. Salvation is by faith alone. We're talking about after you have salvation. Then what do? Right? See, salvation isn't the goal, it's the starting point. Once you get it, once you get God as God, once you get Yeshua as God on earth, what do? What does Yeshua say? What does Peter say? Acts chapter 2. Got all of this really cool stuff and speaking in tongues and fire. Okay, that's the beginning of the chapter. Look at the rest of the chapter. You got all of these people in the temple, Jews in the temple, who are zealous for the Torah. And suddenly it dawns on them and they go, what did we do? We killed the Messiah. What do we do now? And Peter says, Shuv mechata. Shuv mesham. Turn from sin. Return to God. What does turning from sin mean? Do mitzvot. It means act. It means do an act of contrition if you have sinned. It means do an act of kindness for another person. It means do what God said to do on the Moedim. Every time you do for God, you do for mitzvah, you strengthen the kingdom of heaven and you hasten the day of the return of the Messiah. Shabbat Shalom.